Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Sylvia Hubbard. She is the CEO of MACA, Minority Alliance for Advocating Community Awareness and Action. Welcome to 411 Team.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
It's been a long time.
Yes, yes. MACA, Minority Alliance for Advocating Community Awareness and Action, Inc., is an organization established to provide innovative empowerment solutions to the community and options addressing societal ills. MACA offers a wide range of social service educational programs. So we're going to look at MACA. Let's look at your agency because I'd like to educate the community and let them know exactly what is available. A lot of people don't know what's available out there. So can you share some of your history, how it just even evolved?
Well, we came into existence almost 20 years back. It's been that long. We were under a CDC grant under SHESA, Inc., another minority agency. They were doing capacity building. So my background is capacity building. We went from Alabama down to Jacksonville, Florida, over into Thomasville, Georgia, and we taught people to rally together in the community around HIV/AIDS.
Okay. So I'm right. It is a community-based organization.
Yes, I am. I am truly a community-based organization.
And then your mission, what would you say? I guess your mission is really to educate and advocate.
And advocate. I'm a big advocate for people with HIV/AIDS, people that need other things. I'm really working.
Okay. All right. So who do you serve? I mean, when I say who do you serve, I mean, is it adults? Is it children? Is it adolescents? Who?
I can say that we, MACA started first with the Youth Minority AIDS Action Committee, and we trained kids 13 to 21 to do community outreach HIV testing. And
we've done
that. We built their capacity. The youth actually used to host overnight sleepovers for teens. The churches, we did a lot of work in the churches.
What did that training involve? Tell me about it. I mean, what did they learn?
We did HIV. Again, we just did the testing and counseling, prevention leg of it. They learned to organize themselves and present to other people. We even partnered with people in New York and did a community-wide youth rally here in Tallahassee along with Bethel AME Church back in the days.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah.
I applaud you. That is fantastic. That's just what we need with these types of issues that are going on. We need an agency in the community that works with the community and educating the community.
Right. I can remember us gathering kids from Pensacola and taking them for week-long education sessions around HIV/AIDS and capacity building. Remember, we were doing a lot of capacity building, even though it was HIV, it was capacity building. Took them to Jacksonville for a week. Some of those kids are grown up, and they come back and say, oh, I remember when you used to do those. I remember when y'all used to do it. Every summer y'all did something like that. So it left an imprint of things they can do. A lot of those youth that we did train went on to work in organizations, local and state level, around HIV/AIDS. We trained people at FAMU when they were students to organize that candlelight visual.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. We passed that on. It was actually a SHESA MAC event, and we presented it to the students, and they took hold of it, and it has carried on for 10, 11 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess you have evolved then, because I know you started out with the youth, but right. now you've reached out to others. Huh?
Yes, those okay. we have those youth that's on. Well, they're still youth. Those young men, young women mm-hmm. who are students at on the FSU FAMU campus. Some of them have went on to be doctors and lawyers, and we're proud of them.
Oh, I know you are.
But they were able to rally and pull together some of the largest events around HIV here in Tallahassee. And, of course, a signature event that the MACA peers created some years back, the pre-World AIDS Day. Okay. That was Mr. Jeffrey Pope's.
Yes, when
vision.
You all were here before, a
yes.
couple years ago, he was with you.
Right. Sorry to say he's passed on, but that was his signature event where he wanted the whole community to come together, relax, reflect, and then go out and host your World AIDS Day events.
How do you find you are received in the community? I mean, because HIV AIDS still has somewhat of a stigma, you know, a kind of taboo associated with it. Do you find that people are receptive and open, or are they still a little bit reluctant?
The stigma is still there, okay. especially in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot has to do with that is the way funding is distributed mm-hmm. in the African-American community, as well with diabetes and anything else.
Mm-hmm.
When people don't have the funds to see about their own people, their own communities, then there's always a stigma, a lack,
mm-hmm.
and we just can't do it if we don't have the funds to do it. So, yeah, the stigma is still there, not as much. Because we run a program of peers, and we get to go out once a month. I partnered with a young lady down in South Florida. She is HIV positive. Her organization is Positively You. And she saw the void. And so she created her out-of-the-box program where people who join the Positively You program under MACA, they get a $35 health card, which okay. is a lot of money when you're looking at people on fixed incomes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get to do that. We are fortunate enough that we can give out food bags to the people that okay. come into my program. We do a lot of things, and partnering with Positively You have enabled my program to do a lot more than what it was doing, because now we can do those monthly outings and that they look forward to, like going out to eat, going to a movie,
mm-hmm.
things that they just wouldn't do ordinarily because they don't have the dollars to do
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah. So we want people, this is just one way of getting rid of the stigma.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to be able to go into the community wherever they want to go and understand, okay, I'm a part of society. I'm not a misfit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had the, I was fortunate enough to attend your gala this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was very impressed.
Thank you.
With it. That was very, very well done.
Thank you.
And again, you know, whenever I think of your organization, I think of community, because it was very community oriented. There were people there from all different walks of the community.
Yes.
And everybody coming together. So I applaud you on that.
Well, the person that sponsored the meal part of the program,
mm-hmm.
that was one thing that he asked Gilead. And he asked that we include the whole community. So that was the objective every year. But they really turned out this year.
Yeah.
And we had a good time.
Yeah. Well, you're characterized by having a lot of innovative empowerment type programs. And it seems that definitely is the direction that you take.
We're doing what we can.
Mm-hmm.
We have an upcoming event for National Black HIV Awareness Day, which
okay.
is actually February the 7th. But we're going to do our event on the 10th of February, because you asked a question about community. And we just feel like we need to step back do a round table for women to see exactly how do we need to educate our daughters, because our daughters are marrying men who may sleep with other men, who have said they don't want to have an HIV test and bring it home to the woman. Mm-hmm. And we want to empower, go back and redo what we've done before that was a great success.
Okay. Where are you located?
I'm located on the second floor inside Bond Community Health Center, 1720 South Gaston Street. We're in room 223.
Okay. What are your hours?
We normally are there from 9 till about 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Now, what is the process? I mean, does somebody have to refer the individual or the client? Do you have self-referral? Is it a walk-in kind of thing?
We have a number of people, an organization that refer people. Because we do community outreach, we find a lot of people who are in need, who are not connected, who are positive, and just refuse to go to other agencies. They just stay out of care. So word of mouth, our peers, our community activism, and just being in the community has been a reward.
Is there any cost involved? I mean, do you take insurance policy? How does that work?
All of our services are free. We do everything for free, which is why I'm saying the Positively You collaboration was a big plus to keeping people in care, because that's the big push. Keeping people in care and just being able to collaborate with Positively You and the way she's thinking outside the box, hey, it's been a miracle.
And you're open to volunteers if someone wants
to
come and volunteer?
We welcome volunteers. Welcome all volunteers.
What's the process? Just call
They
you?
Just need to call. There's a short application.
What's the number?
My number is 850-942-6222.
Okay.
And that's just MACA, 850-942-6222.
Okay, and so they just call and it goes from there.
Yes.
Okay, I am talking with Ms. Sylvia Hubbard. She's the CEO of MACA, Minority Alliance for Advocating Community Awareness and Action. 411 Teen is featuring them this month. They are a community organization that started with their focus with the youth. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I am talking with Ms. Sylvia Hubbard. She is the CEO of MACA, Minority Alliance for Advocating Community Awareness and Action, Incorporated. It is a really dynamic organization, a community organization that provides a wide range of social service educational programs. Let's get into some of those programs now. I know you have a myriad of different programs that are available to the community. And again, I need to emphasize that these programs are at, you can participate in MACA with no cost involved.
There's no cost involved.
No cost involved.
All of our programs are free.
Okay.
Let me just back up a little.
Okay.
When we first started, because we're talking about youth, when we first got our first funding, we did abstinence education.
Okay.
Under Shisha Inc., we didn't have funding. It was all community-based, volunteer, and we did it. Once we started our own charter, we started abstinence education, where we train, again, youth to present abstinence education and have a conversation around having no sex and what to do to stay abstinence. So that was a great program. Today, shifted funding. And just like the HIV funding, we are currently funded through the Florida Department of Health to provide high-impact prevention, which is identifying high-risk people, getting them tested, if they're positive, getting them in programs. All of that's free.
Now, when you say high risk, I'm just interested in who do you identify as high risk? What's the criteria? What are the variables? What's the characteristics of a high risk individual?
Thank you for asking that question, because most people think I'm not at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're having sex with someone, you haven't taken an HIV test, he or she hasn't taken an HIV test, you're at risk. Because that person may have done a number of things, had multiple sex partners. Some of those sex partners may have been another male. Mm-hmm. Some of those sex partners may have been HIV positive. So you're at risk. If you're having multiple sex partners and not using a condom, you're at the highest risk. And you're at an even greater risk if you're having sex with a male, and you are a male.
Okay.
So we look at high risk in a number of ways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to educate people on. I get an opportunity to speak to a range of ages, youth, adults, elderly. Okay. We're having the same problem. And some people look at it's the black community that's doing this. No, sex is universal.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you're black or white. It's what you're doing, the questions you ask. In this day and time, I would tell anybody to treat a person as if they're HIV positive, because you need to know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you don't know, you're putting yourself at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason for you to be at risk.
Okay. All right. I want to ask you a little bit more about the abstinence program.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that is somewhat controversial, because some folks are saying that abstinence, you know, does not work. You know, if they want to engage in sex, why not teach safe sex as opposed to abstinence only? And just, you know, just off the cuff, I just wondered, what did you see? What have you found as far as presenting abstinence to young teens, and how do they respond to that?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I used to, back in when we first started doing abstinence,
mm-hmm.
I would go in some of the high-risk agencies where they had females of different colors, backgrounds. And it always concerned me that when I had white females that were teenagers under the age of 18, they always had more skills than the black counterparts, because their parents would take them to the store and buy those condoms. Whereas in the black community, mm-hmm. we're still thinking, if you give them a condom, that means they need to go have sex.
You're encouraging them.
Well,
right.
That's not so, because you know what happens? How many times do you have to tell your kid to brush their teeth?
Mm-hmm.
Even when mm-hmm. they're 18, we still have to remind them to mm-hmm. go brush their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the odds of giving them a condom that they're going to use it? And
right.
most time, that's what's happening. What's truly amazing when I first started capacity building under Shisa Inc. is that the churches were willing to let us come in and talk and
wasn't really
ashamed. Yeah, we hosted some of the biggest conferences with pastors. Like one year we did a pastor's conference. We had about 300 pastors that implemented our program
mm-hmm.
in the church.
Wow.
Some of those pastors have moved on. That funding was on the CDC, and it just kind of got dropped because that agency don't provide HIV prevention anymore.
Oh,
and so man. That's what happens in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in other communities, the funding is maintained in the community, and they still don't do the programs.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think, what is the reluctance that we often encounter in the black community about just addressing sexual activity? I mean, like you said, it happens. every place, every, you know, I mean, that's just a part of life. And, yeah, it's also a part of youth and adolescence that they're going to be
And it's
exploring.
On TV.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I keep telling people,
isn't
you know,
it?
I watched The Grinch that stole Christmas for mm-hmm. years. And somehow or another, I'm looking at it a couple of years back, and I noticed that The Grinch had sex with the dog. And I'm like, why would they put that in a movie for a kid? So if you don't teach your kid about sex, mm-hmm. that TV will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those subtle things mm-hmm. on the screen mm-hmm. that happens that kids may not be aware of, but it's being
there.
Etched into
mm-hmm.
their mind,
mm-hmm.
into their psyche. And that's what's getting the black community, because we don't educate our kids about things they need to talk about. Sex. Why do churches now, they don't want you to come in. I was a member at one church, and we were doing the abstinence, and, oh, I talked to my people about sex. Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
So why do we have these pregnant teenagers in here? Why do we have these people who are not married sitting in here? They're having sex. Hello, that's an indication. And so as long as we stick our head in the sand in the black community and just pray about it without acting on it, we just keep getting the same rotten deal.
What trends have you seen over the years since you have been out there in the trenches? Have you seen some different trends arise?
Well, now we're at a point where it's black males who have sex with males. I have did conferences with that group of individuals, and one of the things that's amazing to me is that they say, I don't want my mama to know that I sleep with males. I don't want them to know I'm gay. And I'm just floored at, like, okay, really? Your mother's head in the ground? This, I mean,
mm-hmm.
really? She can't tell what you're doing? And so it's like, okay, as long as we have people who feel threatened, who can't be who they are, then we're going to constantly be changing directions. When we first started the epidemic, it was white gay men.
Mm.
Then it was drug users. Then it was black women. And we're still high numbers. Black women are still high numbers. So we're not off the hook, and mainly because we don't talk. We don't keep our education going. Now we've moved to black gay men, young black gay men. So that's really heartening when you're looking at people and telling people who are getting ready to graduate high school that you're HIV positive. Or a young woman who is now 20 that you're HIV positive.
Mm.
Something that you can truly avoid. You don't have to get HIV. Nah. And that's what's right. So disheartening, because the stigma of being gay, the stigma of being whatever, that you hide in a closet and have sex, unprotected sex, you won't educate yourself. I was very proud that a young black young male came in and wanted an HIV test. And he said, no, I take my PrEP. And we're going to talk about PrEP.
Okay.
And I said, oh, yeah, you know about PrEP. And he, oh, yeah. But again, this is a young male who's in college.
Oh, okay.
So we have to still categorize ourselves and have a message that's informative for everybody in mm-hmm. every social section
mm-hmm. and all
of the community. Mm-hmm. And that's what we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the mouthpiece that can talk to the woman that's prostituting on the street. We don't have the mouthpiece that can go into the clubs or the churches, because it takes all kind to give mm-hmm. the message.
Well, tell us about PrEP. You mentioned it.
Let's
talk about PrEP.
Well, the thing is why do you want to take PrEP? Because it significantly reduced the risk of getting HIV.
Okay. Now, what is it?
PrEP
acronym?
Is a pill. No.
Oh, yeah. It's a pill.
Yeah, okay. It's a pill. And we're just going to call it, well, it's a pre-exposure.
Okay.
Prophylaxis.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is take that pill once a day, just like a birth control pill, just like your blood pressure pill. You take it. It has side effects, much as everything else. But when you take that pill, like if I slip and don't use my condom and my mate is HIV positive because I'm taking PrEP, I won't get the HIV.
Really?
Yes. So we've come that far.
But they got to take the pill. They
got to
go get it.
You got to take the pill.
You got to get it.
You got to take the pill. But the problem is, black community is afraid of taking the pill because, again, we go back to the syphilis and the Tuskegee. Yeah, we can't get over those. And so I'm thinking, okay, if I take that pill, they're going to give me HIV.
Okay.
So we have another battle.
Okay.
We come up with another battle that we have to face. A lot of people aren't talking about it. And let's face it, black males just don't go to the doctor. With PrEP, you got to go to the doctor every 3 months.
Okay.
That's a bummer. And then there's a cost, but there's some places that will pay for it. You just got to get linked in to a provider that's in your area, and they're all over the state of Florida, so there is no reason to not protect yourself. It's just like a female. You don't want to get pregnant, but you know you're sleeping with multiple partners. What do? Okay, we got all these birth control pills. There is no reason to come up with a pregnancy.
Right.
So we just have to start using common sense and educating our kids.
Well, you know what they say. Common sense ain't common.
Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore.
No.
You're right.
Not at all. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the abstinence only education program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else do you have?
We do the HIV prevention.
Okay.
Counseling and testing. That's a swab in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't make it to anyone can do it. It's free of charge. If you can't make it, we'll come to you. We do a lot of outreach. Yes, ma'am. We do a lot of outreach. I have went to people houses, frightened people who think they've been exposed to HIV and just want to test. So
that's wonderful. So you will go to them.
Yep.
If they don't. Okay.
And what's so unique about MACA is that we can go into the church and tailor our conversation to match that of the scripture, because there's scripture in there. There's things you can do. Like, why are you having multiple sex partners anyway? Don't the Bible say, wait till you're married?
Okay.
I mean, that would solve a whole lot. If you just
That
mutual
would,
partners, okay, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things.
That's impressive. Now, how long does that process take? I mean, in that once you swab their, you know, the inside of their mouth, and when do they get the results, and how are the results delivered?
Well, in the old days, we used to tell them 2 weeks, but the labs are a lot quicker. We just swab their mouth. Talk to them about their risk factors, to use condoms. We talk about the condoms, show them different condoms. It takes about 2 weeks or less for it to come back. And we normally take them back to where we took the test so that people aren't inconvenienced. We do our best.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a positive test result, we try to get you linked to a service provider. Leon County would want to talk to you, as well as I talk to you about our program and a peer. And those peers are vital. That's another part of our program, the peers, because they're people who live with HIV.
Okay. So they can really, you know, talk directly because they are involved.
They
themselves.
Can talk to you about medication, how it reacts, what you can expect. How the disease progress and what helps it to stop the progression, like taking your meds on time every day, limiting your sex partners, alcohol, drugs, and things like that. The peers are vital to my program.
Okay. And so peers are those individuals who have HIV, and they will give counseling to...
Absolutely. We link them to other positives who are out of care, who come into our program, and we just link them.
Okay.
They make a phone call once a month to make sure that they make it to their appointments if they need something. And that's another story. Because doing this, we have found so many people who are lacking so much. Like one person that had been out of care. We were testing in Gaston County. So that individual took a test. Of course, it came back positive. And he said, well, this is the only way I could figure out how to get back in care. That individual has still had a really hard time because he lives in Gaston County with providers who can pick him up, get him to a number of those times I have just went myself and drove him, which is...
So transportation is... And you find that often, that transportation is an issue with those who are somewhat compromised.
Well, yeah. This particular person really don't have to be in a transportation limbo because he has Medicaid.
Oh.
He just doesn't understand how to use the system. So that's another thing the peers do is educate.
Okay. So they educate them on that, too.
Right. That's the one. We want people to be self-sufficient. We want you to know what's out there. We want you to know how to navigate the system to take care of yourself.
And that I would think that that is the key.
Right.
Knowing how to navigate or work the system.
Absolutely.
Knowing where to go and who to ask for whatever it is you may need.
Right.
Because if you have that, then that's half of it.
Right.
You know?
Right. There's agencies that are out there that do a number of things, but most of them don't do the same thing, close to the same thing.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I am having a very informative conversation with Ms. Sylvia Hubbard. She is the CEO of MACA, Minority Alliance for Advocating Community Awareness and Action. It's an organization established to provide empowerment solutions to those in the community and giving them options for some of the societal ills that we encounter on a regular basis. Ms. Hubbard, I had to interrupt you, but let's continue with some of the programs and options that you provide to the community.
Well, we're small, so we can do individual pampering.
Well, that's what it takes.
To people. And some of the large agencies, they have such large caseload, there's no way they can get right down to a person and get them what they need. So everybody have a job in the community. It gets kind of crazy when people are pent against each other in the community and can't work together.
Well, there's so much going on. There's enough room for everyone.
Absolutely.
That's enough. Now, I know you used to have, and I don't know if you still have it, what, Choosing the Best Life? Is that
No, that fell under that fell under the abstinence education.
Okay.
Right now, we're doing the high impact.
Okay.
Which we do Voices, which is a video opportunity for safer sex.
Okay.
We do that in the community.
Okay.
And that's, we watch a video, talk about sex, pass condoms, and you would be surprised at some of the answers we get. And it's, well, generally geared toward people who are 18 to maybe 30.
Okay.
Who are making decisions. We bumped it down to, like, we'll do it with 15, 16-year-olds, high school students, just because we know that they're having sex and not having conversations. And if you don't have conversation with these kids, well, what happens is they have conversation with their friends with wrong information.
And they get the wrong information.
Absolutely. They get the wrong information.
Okay.
So we do the voices, we do the counseling testing, we do outreach. You'll see us like at the community baby shower. Where we were able to.
What is the community baby shower?
Well, we started that event, and one of our sororities here took it on and keep doing it each year. So we're happy. It's where they get clothes, bassinet, and things for high-risk women who don't have a whole lot and they're pregnant and need services.
Okay.
So it's a community event where we have different vendors there. And the females can go around to each vendor, get information, get contact numbers so that they can go and get what they need. They get clothing, Pampers. They can take an HIV test. We were there offering an HIV test, and we were able to provide that. We were able to do voices there also while people were waiting to get into different sections.
Now, for our listening audience, will you again share your contact information, where you're located, your telephone number, for those who may want your services or may want to donate or volunteer some time, money, product, whatever.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
We always need volunteers. We always need donations. Mm-hmm. My partner that used to provide canned goods, she died, so we do need another partner.
Okay.
Because people come in and pick up, when you're on a fixed income, two or three canned goods don't stretch a long way. It helps, but you need more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide that. But we're located at Bond Community Health Center on the second floor, suite 223. And the phone number there is 850-942-6222. That's 850-942-6222. So we're always in need of donation. We have some clothes where people can come and get clothes if they need. We've helped people turn lights on. So if you might want to donate money in order to help people turn their lights on. It's always good to educate on finance. So if you're on a fixed income, you need to figure out how to budget and not go over some things you just can't get. So that's why when you look at that Positively You partnership, hey, that's great because now I can go buy my feminine items that I need, soap to bathe with, soap to wash clothes with. There's a number of things you can get that people don't even think about that people on a fixed income need.
Do you all go, you do outreach. Talk about the outreach. I mean, do you go to the jails at all? Do you have any? I'm just one.
No, we used to go to the jail.
Okay,
we had a phenomenal outreach at the jail. We did that. Yeah, we did that. I have not went back to the jail per se.
Okay.
I have went out to Gaston County. We had a sister program. They don't fund sister anymore. We were in the low-income housing.
So funding, it sounds like, is an issue.
Yeah. Sister was the bomb. And people that I started with in 2009 doing sister, some of those ladies that went through those 5 weeks, it was like, yeah, I remember you. And they can quote some of the things that I've taught them.
So it had an impact.
Yes, it made an impact.
Okay.
It made an impact. Some of them we did, like I say, when kids were at high-risk youth facilities and they were teenagers. Those people are now like 30 years old. And
wow.
They remember. People that was at the jail when I did sister there, they come out and they can quote. We do a lot of condom drops.
Okay.
So if somebody want a condom basket at their agency, at their beauty salon, all they have to do is call that number, 850-942-6222. If they want us to come out and do a presentation, we tailor our presentations to our audience, 942 6222.
Okay.
All they have to do is call. We are willing and we're ready, and we'll come out and make that presentation for you.
Okay, so it's just a matter of them calling.
It's you taking action.
Now, I see you have a number of brochures here.
I do.
Share with us, you know.
Well, prep is the big thing.
Prep is okay.
And we you asked, how do I know if I should have prep?
Mm-hmm.
There are some things.
Okay.
If you are a gay or bisexual man and you have an HIV-positive partner, if you have multiple partners and a partner with multiple partners or a partner whose HIV status is unknown, and if you have anal sex without a condom or recently had sexual transmitted disease, an STD,
okay,
then you should consider PrEP. If you are heterosexual, that means a male who enjoy a female or a female who enjoy a male,
well, mm-hmm,
and you have an HIV partner, and if you have multiple partners and a partner with multiple partners, you don't always use a condom for sex with people who shoot drugs, or you don't always use a condom for sex with a bisexual man, then you should consider PrEP because you don't have to get HIV. We don't have a whole lot of people who shoot drugs with needles, but if you're that's pretty high risk,
mm-hmm,
and when I worked at the jail, they did inform me that, Ms. Hubbard, people do shoot needles in their arms here. I'm like, really? Okay. So those people, you should consider talking mm-hmm to a doctor about PrEP.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is something that you just don't have to get. It's like being pregnant. You don't have to be pregnant. There's so many things out there to stop you from being pregnant.
Can you share with us, the listening audience particularly, just how HIV is contracted? How do you get it? Okay. You know, because when it came out, there were all so many different things. But I think it'd be good to educate folks. I know you can get it through contaminated
blood.
But
we don't get it that way a whole lot now because of new science. And that, mm-hmm, that doesn't happen. But you get it through sexual intercourse.
That's it.
That's the main mm-hmm place you're going to get it. And we have a lot of myths that, you know, if I'm the one on top,
mm-hmm,
I can't get it.
Right.
No. It's come through body fluids. Okay. And anytime you're having sex, those are body fluids being exchanged.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a needle. You can get it by sharing a needle. That's a direct dose mm-hmm of HIV if the person is HIV and you use a needle that that person has just finished using. You're more than likely going to get HIV. Sex partners. We don't ask the right questions. We just jump in bed. And so we get it. Any type of sex.
Okay.
Any type of sex. You're moving.
Because the fluids.
The fluids.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it by kissing or hugging someone. You're not going to get it.
Okay. Well,
so you can be nice.
I'm glad you say that.
Yeah. You can always hug in someone. The most important thing is taking the test.
Okay.
Knowing your status. If you think that I am high risk, then you need to take precaution. The PrEP, condoms, every time you have sex, condom. I have people say, I told him to use a condom that I was HIV positive, and he took it off anyway. Well, yeah, that happens. Then
it does?
Yes, ma'am.
Even when they know the partner is HIV positive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that doesn't stop. And you shouldn't... HIV shouldn't stand in the way of your love life.
No, but I mean... It doesn't have to.
Right.
That's why you have the condom.
Right. Again, even females, females, males, it doesn't matter. If you know you have HIV, you should protect the person
mm-hmm
that you're having sex with.
Mm-hmm.
You should notify them. And, let's talk about notification.
Okay. Yes.
If you know you have HIV, you should notify the person that you are about to engage in sex with that you're HIV positive. Not when they're drunk or high on drugs because they can't make a clear decision. Mm-hmm. But you should have that conversation. Now, should you tell everybody your status? No, you shouldn't. If you're not comfortable doing that, no. Mm-hmm. Because I don't go around telling everybody I have diabetes. Mm-hmm. It's a need to know. I can't spread HIV, but I can show my family members the way to get it by feeding them the wrong foods and things like that. So mm-hmm. it's the same way with HIV. Mm-hmm. Each one teach one.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to share with someone that's in your peer group. Look, you don't want to get HIV. You need to use a condom. If you're going to have multiple sex partners,
do you
talk
teach
to your
them
doctor.
How to use condoms?
We do. Okay. With our voices session, we do. We show them how to put it on. We have lifelike penises where mm-hmm. they can put them on, and that's always like really giggly part because people mm-hmm. aren't accustomed to that. But they're mm-hmm. hopping in bed, especially the people on the campuses.
Yes.
The university campuses is like, okay. Mm-hmm. Even though the parents think like, okay, they're not doing it. Yes, they are. And the old mm-hmm. thing we used to start with, back in the old days, we used to show them a diagram like, okay, if you're in the ninth grade and you have sex 1 year with this person and next year you got another person. And we used to mm-hmm. show them the diagrams mm-hmm. of what it looked like. Mm-hmm. By the time you finish high school, mm-hmm. because you have to count all the partners they had right. and the partners you had, and then that gets to be pretty.
Yes.
I mean, by the time you get out of college, you could have had about 40 or 50 partners,
right.
depending
that's
on
right.
how many partners those partners had.
That's right.
Yeah.
I bet that was pretty eye-opening for
that
them.
That was pretty impacting, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so was the commercials of people dying with AIDS.
Oh, okay.
Right now, see, we can mask it and say, oh, they died of cancer. They died of liver failure. They died of anything except AIDS.
Oh, really? And that still happens a lot.
That still happens. That still happens. So, the black community have a lot to be educated upon, and mm-hmm. you just can't stop educating. It's like 20 years, and we're right back at the same spot we were when I first started in this. We're back fighting for the same things that we were fighting for back 20 years ago.
So it makes
funding.
Yeah.
The right to be in our own community, to say mm-hmm. what we need to say to our people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because education is the only thing, is
right.
the key. There's no alternative. There's nothing else that you can do. The individuals have to be educated, and even what I hear from you is even after they are educated, sometimes they still will choose to
right.
to engage in dangerous sexual activity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like this young fellow that came in to get an HIV test, they knew. They were on PrEP, so I was pleased with that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I had to say, you know, there's a word they call female when they have multiple sex partners. Mm-hmm. And he smiled and said, I know, I'm a hoe.
Oh.
Why would you do that then? If you knew this, right. why are you participating in that type of activity?
And?
Well, it's just new people here. Yeah, for real. But the good thing is that person knew to get PrEP.
Okay. Well, in this last minute, again, I want to ask you to share your location and your contact information. Again, for those who may want to participate, who have to volunteer, whatever, would you share that with us?
Again, I'm inside Bond Community Health Center, room 223. My phone number is 850-942-6222. We have an upcoming event, February the 10th. It's going to be 11 to 2. It's a round table. You'll see the flyer. We'll talk about that. And then we're going to have that SOS conference back here in Tallahassee the last time.
What's SOS stand for?
Sisters Organizing to Survive.
Okay.
So we're trying to get sisters together because we're mostly the head of families, the educators of the family, and we want to educate these sisters.
Well, I tell you, I really appreciate you coming in and sharing all of this information. I've been talking with Ms. Sylvia Hubbard. She's the CEO of MACA. MACA is Minority Alliance for Advocating Community Awareness and Action, Inc. We've examined some of the ways that you can empower the community. To my listening audience, I want to say thank you for taking the time and lending the ear. Tune in next week. Same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. "411 Team" was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.